Amen. I hope that's your testimony, that your life has been radically changed since Jesus passed by. Now, again, some people say, well, I'm once saved, always saved, and I believe once you say a prayer, you can just do whatever you want to do. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. And I believe in eternal security for those that are truly born again. But it's more than a prayer. If your life is not radically changed, you say, what do you mean by radically changed? Well, the Bible said that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So our desires change. Does it mean we don't sin? Nope, that's not what the Bible teaches. But the desire is different. And so if that's not you, I would say this. It's amazing to me how we get caught up in so many small arguments about things. And years ago, J. Harold Smith said he thought that maybe 75 to 80% of people in our independent Baptist churches are lost. Now, it may be true, may not. I mean, if you look as a whole, right, you say, are you saying 80% in our church is lost? I don't probably think that. But I do know this, when you look at Christianity as a whole, those that profess Jesus, a good portion of them do not know him as personal Savior. And so then people will debate, well, who are you to say 80%? Well, I didn't say it, right? Somebody else said it. And there's this debate. Social media's made it worse. There's arguments about things like that. And I've heard people say things like, you know, they'll argue about this thought. Well, I'm glad I found Jesus. And I've heard, well, bless God, you didn't find Jesus. He found you. He was never lost. Well, the Bible said, seek him while he may be found. Right? So we get off on these little tangents about stuff to argue about semantics, right, and how we view certain things. And really, you look at that scripture there, Jesus passed by my way. You say, well, did he? Yeah, he did. He initiated it. I believe in the free will of man, don't you? But I also realize this, that the Holy Spirit of God has to convict a man, because there's nothing in my flesh that wants to come to God. Now, listen. When Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't come to God. They ran away from God, right? They tried to cover their sin. And so something, God came to them and said, Adam, where art thou? And I'm thankful that if we're truly born again, God puts the Holy Spirit of God. Think about that. He will say, well, he lives in us. Well, he sure does, right? And if you're truly born again, the very person of the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And there ought to be a difference. There ought to be a difference. That's why there's all this confusion we live in today, because we're preaching this cheap grace garbage that you can just, well, just say a prayer, and then the only thing that matters is whether or not you're going to heaven or not. Well, that's not all that matters. If it were, then the moment you got saved, God would take you out of here. If it were the only thing that mattered, we would not have most of the New Testament, because the epistles are written to churches and Paul is telling them how to live. And so it's not simply about a moment we got saved. Now that is very important, by the way. But it's also as a believer that after I'm saved, God requires me to be an ambassador for him, right? And so I want you to turn to Luke chapter 20 this morning. Luke chapter 20, we want to begin in verse number 41. And as we're preaching through the book of Luke on Sunday morning, you say, man, you've been in Luke for a long time. There's a lot there. Amen. I was having a discussion with a pastor not long ago, and he said he does not preach expositorily. He likes to preach on topics, and that's fine. He said, I just feel like, you know, I want to preach stuff that's fresh. Well, good. But Paul told Timothy, he just said, preach the word.
That's right. Amen.
Not whether or not my message is fresh, it's whether or not I preach the word.
Glory to God.
And God wrote the Bible in a certain order.
That's right.
Right? He knows more than I do, so I just figured I'd preach it the way he wrote it.
Amen.
Amen. So Luke chapter 20, verse 41. Now last Sunday we looked at part of Luke chapter 20 and how that Jesus had dealt with the scribes and Pharisees. And now as we look here in Luke chapter 20, verse number 41, he said unto them, how say they that Christ is David's son? Now, again, these Pharisees had come to Jesus and they had tried to trip him up with the word of God. They tried to trip up the word of God with the word of God. And so then in verse 40, he pretty much laid them out. And he said in verse 40, the Bible said, after that, they durst not ask him any question at all. He silenced them with the word. You don't have to argue with people. All you got to do is give them the word of God. You give them the Bible, and the Bible will speak for itself. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to give people insight to what you think about it. Just give them the Word of God. And the Bible said in verse 41, he said unto them, how say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord. That's important. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And David therefore called him Lord. How is he then his son? So what they tried to do is go in the Old Testament, and they were trying to trip up Jesus and say, listen, the Old Testament said this, and he said, well, I got one for you. He said, David said that the Lord would make my Lord his footstool. So how is it that you... how is it that he is his son? Then in the audience, in verse 45, of all the people, he said unto his disciples. So get this. So these religious crowds over here, and they're questioning Jesus, and they're trying to trip him up, and he deals with them. And then he looks over here at his disciples, and here's what he says. He said, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes. So here they are. He wasn't talking about them behind their back. He rebuked them to their face. He lays into them and preaches the word of God and silences them. And then he comes over here to this crowd and he says, now look, you don't want to be like that. Can you imagine what they were thinking? And so he says that they walk in long robes and love greeting in the market and the high seats in the synagogues, the chief room at feast. Verse 47, he said, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. He said, the same shall receive greater damnation. There's what I want to preach on this morning. People that are uncomfortable with the Comforter. Listen, we sang that song about the name of Jesus. There's no name that has been more revered among some, but so hated among others. And that's what we see in the New Testament. There were some that loved Jesus. There were some that hated Jesus. Guess what? Same today. We live in America. We live in the greatest country in the world. We live in a one nation under God. Well, there's people in this country that hate God. Then there's some people that love God. And so Bible preaching will sometimes make us uncomfortable. You know why churches like this are not filled up? And Brother Adam, why churches all across this country and all across this world that just preach the Bible are not filled up? Because it stings. When you're not living for God, it stings. Amen. When you're not where you need to be, it stings. And I want to be encouraged, and I want to feel comfortable, and I want someone to lift me up when I come to church. Well, sometimes we need to be lifted up. Sometimes we need to feel like the low-down, sorry dogs that we are, right? I mean, sometimes the Word of God brings us comfort and helps us, and sometimes it convicts us and shows us just how far away from God we are. And that's what the Word of God does, and that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus often did the same thing. He would take this crowd and say, listen, I'm compassionate and I'm loving, but on this side I'm truth. He's not devoid of one. He is truth, but he is love. He's not love and not truth. He's both together. You can't have one and not the other. And so we have usually two groups of people. We talked about this morning. In our class, you have the ones that, bless God, we stand on the truth, and we stand on our doctrine. We stand on what's right, and all this is wrong and sinful, yada, yada, yada. But they have no love. And then you got this crowd that they talk about the love of God. He's compassionate. Oh, he'll accept anybody. Come as you are. Do as you please. But they're devoid of truth. We gotta marry truth and compassion, truth and love. We ought to preach the truth in love. We ought to tell the truth in love. And so those that were wrong in their belief of him were presented with truth that made them uncomfortable. Amen. You're here this morning, you say, well, I'm uncomfortable. Well, you got to figure out why you're uncomfortable. Now, if I'm not preaching the Bible and you're uncomfortable, then you ought to say, I'm never going back to that church ever again. But if I'm preaching the Bible and you're uncomfortable, then you got to say, maybe I need to look inside and figure out what's going on with me. Now, if you're uncomfortable because it's too hot, find somewhere where it's colder. If it's too cold, go to where it's hotter, right? But the fact is, whenever we're around the things of God, if we're not where we need to be with God, we get uncomfortable. Am I right? Amen.
Yes, sir.
So those who were wrong in their belief of him were presented with truth that made them uncomfortable. Truth always makes us uncomfortable if we don't believe truth. You don't believe it? We live in a country right now. We don't have free speech because people know if you tell the truth. Maybe I'm in the wrong place this morning. If you present the truth, just the truth, people are going to look at it and go, that makes sense. There'll be a time with what we're doing right now. They're not going to watch us on Facebook. They're not going to be able to watch us on YouTube because I promise you that if I preach the Bible, I'm going to say something that will not be politically correct, that will not be accepted by the masses, and so they're going to say, well, we have to cut that off. Right, not trying to be hateful, and not trying to be controversial, but just preaching the truth. Sometimes I don't like that. Made me uncomfortable. Right. So what I'm saying is, how often do we feel like God should conform to our beliefs instead of changing the way we think to line up with Him? Right? I'll give you an example. I was thinking about this morning. Wednesday night, we're preaching on biblical finances, stewardship, those things. And I made this statement, I don't know if it's Wednesday night or this Wednesday before that. What would you do if God told you to give 90% instead of 10%? And I'll guarantee you, now you tell me if I'm wrong, there's people sitting in here this morning and say, well, God never do that. God wouldn't do that because he knows I need the 90. Now, tell me that somebody didn't think, am I right?
You're right. Amen.
You say God never do that. He says 10%. What about the widow?
Come on. That's right.
She gave it all.
That's right.
Man, she gave it all.
Amen.
Now, what I'm saying is, I'm not telling you to give it all. Okay, so some of you have tuned me out. What I'm saying is, oftentimes, instead of listening to what God says, we'll say, well, God didn't mean whatever. To line him up with our way of thinking instead of us lining up with his way of thinking. Am I right? That's why we're in this mess we're in today. We've tried to take the word of God, make it mean what we want it to mean. And so if every man does what's right in his own eyes, you know what? We have confusion. And God's not the author of confusion. So how often do we feel like God should conform to our beliefs, the way we think of things? Well, surely, because I think this way and I'm a Christian, God thinks this way. No, let God be true and every man a liar. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He changes not. And so what I'm saying is, when we align our beliefs with his word, it brings joy. I didn't say it was always easy, but it brings joy and it brings peace. So when we try to line his word up with our way of thinking, we get tripped up, right? That's why we have all these cults. That's why we have all these false religions. That's why we can't agree as Christians on what the Bible says, because we want it to say what we want it to say. So Here it is. Here's what he lays out in this scripture about being uncomfortable. Now, these scribes, these Pharisees, had studied the Word of God. They should know it. They were the preachers, and they were the Bible college professors of the day. They should have known what the Word of God says. They should know what it meant. You and I, as Bible believers, should know what God says in His Word. So what was the problem? Well, they looked at Jesus through their eyes, and they wanted Him to be what they wanted Him to be. In other words, they didn't want the Jesus that was there. They wanted a Messiah that they had this picture of that was the perfect Messiah for their situation. So number one, here's what it was. It was a challenge to a belief. In verse 41 to 44, he said unto them, how say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms. So that they're saying, well, Jesus, you know, the Old Testament said this. He said, well, I got you. I wrote the Old Testament. I'll tell you exactly. Remember back in Psalms when David said this? And he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is it then he then his son? So here's what he's saying. That he was challenging their belief about a Messiah. They wanted a Messiah to come and fix their situation. Listen to me. You say, oh, what's that got to do with me? What kind of Messiah do you want? Brother Jerry, we don't pray unless we need something. We don't want God in our life until things get bad enough we can't fix it ourselves. And then we'll say, y'all pray for me, pray for me, pray for this situation, pray for this. Oh, hey, listen, I know. How many of us, you can raise your hand or not, I'll raise mine. You was in school, you didn't study for a test the whole time. Then the night before you said, no, Lord, if you'll just let me pass this test, I'll never do this again. Not one time did he ever answer that prayer for me, hallelujah. He said, no, sir, buddy, you were the lazy bum that didn't study, so you'll just fail and figure it out. But that's how we treat God, isn't it? We want the Messiah that we want. When we want something, we want Him to pour it out. When we don't want Him around, right? But you cannot look at Him that way. So in other words, they wanted the Savior to be who they wanted Him to be, not who He really is. That's the picture today. We want to picture Him as this big grandpa in the sky. And all He wants, He just wants all His children. Come sit on my knee here, little junior. Let's go out and get some ice cream today. Oh, I know you're not perfect. I know you're not what you need to be. But you're my little grandbaby, and you're perfect in my sight. And I'm just going to keep rewarding you, even though you're not pleasing me, and even though you're not doing anything. I'm just going to take you like you are. Is that not the picture we have? We want the God that comes and bails us out of jail. But we don't want the God that's going to hold us accountable for naming the name of Christ. Amen. So what we believe about Jesus is the most important question we can answer. The most important thing you can answer this morning is what version of Jesus do you want? Because the version the flesh wants is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is the one that says, hey, you want me? That's fine. I'll save you. I'll take you to heaven. I'm going to radically change your life. But when I do, you got to be my disciple. That is not what most people want. That they want the Savior that's going to bail them out. And that's what they want a Messiah that was going to take that Roman rule and those oppressors and do something with them and liberate the nation of Israel. They didn't want the one that came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Jesus, listen to me, church. Jesus is who He is, and we must accept Him as just that. You say, I have this picture of who Jesus is. It's wrong. If the Bible does not paint the picture of who Jesus is in your mind, it's wrong. But I saw this movie. I don't care what Hollywood said. I saw the passion of the Christ, and listen, that is nothing compared to what the Bible says about Jesus. Well, I saw this movie, Jesus Revolution. That ain't Jesus. See, Hollywood is distorting who he is. Churches and Christians and Christian music distorts who he is. We got to get to the Word of God because he wrote it, and he's telling us in his Word who he is. Belief about the Messiah, but then belief about his motives. So what did they believe? They believed the Messiah would come to deliver them from their oppressors. It's important. Listen, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he said. What they believed and what he said were not the same thing. They came and they said, okay, we want a leader.
Come on.
Yeah. Hang on. I'm going to offend some of you. We want a leader that's going to come and rescue us from our mess. Is that not what they were asking?
Right.
Now go back to the Old Testament. What did they do? Well, let's go. We won't go through the whole 4,000 years. Well, Adam and Eve sinned. Messed that up. Go a few chapters over. Guess what happened? Well, you had Enoch taken out. You had Noah, his family. God said, I'm going to wipe them all out, right? You got the children of Israel in Egypt in bondage, parts Red Sea. They come out, few days' journey to the promised land, right? Few days, wasn't 40 years. They griped and grumbled. Moses, you brought us out here to die.
Yep.
Now listen, God was going to kill him. Why wouldn't he just done it in Egypt?
Right.
Yep. We're hungry. Here's manna. Not good enough. Here's birds. Not good enough.
Yep.
Thirsty. Here's water out of a rock.
Yep. Right.
Promised land. Milk and honey. Grapes big as your head. Two of them said, we can take it. The rest of them said, no, we can't. There's giants over there. God said, fine. None of y'all are going.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Wander around 40 years.
Yes.
See God provide. Y'all aren't going.
That's right.
Cross over in the promised land. Make me a place called Gilgal. So every time you doubt what God can do, you can come back here. Go to Jericho. What do they do? Walk around the wall.
Right.
Shout. God destroys it. God went and destroyed all their enemies.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Not good enough for God's people. No, no, no. We want a king. We want to be like the rest of the world. We want a king. Remember what he said? Jebusites, Hittites, all them. Don't marry them. Don't marry into false religions. What'd they do? We're going to do what we want to do. So then they get a king, good old Saul. He was good for a while. Then he enslaved them. Over and over, you see the same thing. God blesses them. Hey, remember this? Moses goes up to get the word of God. While he's up on the mountain, you know what they're doing? Run around naked, partying, and they said, you know what? This Moses guy ain't coming back. We need to come up with our own God. Here's all the gold we brought out of Egypt. Now make us something. We'll worship that. Right? What I'm saying is the point they were at when Jesus came, the reason they were in bondage was not because of God not being good. It's because they were paying for what they had done, for rejecting him over and over and over and over again. They kept saying, no, we don't want you. Oh, God, we're in bondage. Rescue us. He'd do it. They'd say, we don't want you.
Right.
Now they're there again. And God's plan is bigger than getting them out of their present mess,
yes,
And he came, and they said, that's not what we want. We want these stinking Romans to leave us alone. We want to get out of this, and we want to be the people of God, and we want to rule, and we want everything to be good.
Right.
We want it easy. Is that not what they were asking for?
Sure.
Let me ask you this. What are you asking for?
Good.
Same thing.
Yes.
I don't want any trials, God. I don't want any problems in life. I just want to do my thing. I want to live my life the way I want to live it. And I don't want problems. I don't want sickness. I don't want to lose my job. I just wish things would get back to normal. And so you know what even God's people are looking for? Somebody they can vote for to get us back where we, ain't going to happen, folks. There's one Savior. His name's Jesus. You say, oh, preacher, I'm never coming back to this church because you're anti. You should call me anti whatever you want to. Here's what I am. I'm pro-Jesus. I don't care who you put in the White House. Jesus, listen, America is great because of God. Not because of a political party or a political leader. And by the way, just so I can get the flip side, it's not the donkeys that got us in this mess. It's God's people because we've not done what God's told us to do in His Word for the last 200 years. We're getting exactly what we deserve. Don't blame me. I voted for whoever. Well, let me ask this. How many tracts have you ever handed out in your life? How many people have you ever witnessed to? How many times have you tried to win somebody to Christ? Well, that's just not my thing. See, He did not come to liberate, but to liberate from the power and curse of sin. The first time He came to take the throne of man's heart, the second time He's going to take the throne of earth and heaven, amen? So here's what He's saying. They're saying, we wanted somebody to come and fix all this mess. He said, I'm going to. It's just not going to be the way you think it is. I got to go to a cross to fix the sin problem, and that's what He's doing. So they didn't understand the motives of the Messiah.
That's right.
And then the belief about the Master. Now notice what they say. The Bible said here in verse 41, now I'm putting all this together. He said in verse 41, he said, how say they that Christ is David's son?
Yeah.
See what he said? Christ. And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son?
Right.
He's saying, listen, you're looking for somebody to come through David's lineage.
Yes. Yes.
That's going to sit on his throne on the earth.
That's right.
And he's trying, and you look at the genealogy of Christ, he's saying, I'm not only that.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
I came from here. He said,
yes.
I'm not only a descendant on Mary's side.
Yes.
Right? On the earthly side, I'm not only a descendant of David.
Yes.
I'm the one David called Lord.
Yes.
He said, if it's just that, how's he calling me Lord?
Right. Amen.
Say, what are you getting at, preacher? What I'm getting at is this. Ready? Listen up. Who's your master?
That's right. Amen.
Who's your? That's what he's asking.
Lord.
Who has the throne of your heart? Because somebody or something does. You say, I rule myself. There you go. You know what? That's called humanism. The second reference in this scripture refers to Jesus as master because David calls the Messiah my Lord, which means master. So the king that they revered, David, is looking at him saying, he's my master, right? May I say today, he's my master. He's your, somebody's going to be your Lord. Somebody's going to be the one that rules over you. And it's either going to be God or something or someone else. And so Messiah must be both God and man. And as eternal God, the Messiah is David's Lord. But as man, he's David's descendant. So he's both God and man. Jesus did not ever cease to be God. He is always and always will be God. And when he came to earth as man, he fulfilled that side. But the Messiah must be God and man, and that's Jesus. So there, he presented a challenge to a belief they had. Here's what I want to ask you. What belief do you hold that you've come up with? And it may be rational, right? Because Brother Adam, well, God gives us common sense. Here's the problem. You don't have scripture for that. Because what makes sense in your mind may not be God. What happens when God gets you out of your common sense zone and says, all right, you got to trust me.
Amen.
You got to trust me on this one. Doesn't make sense on paper.
Amen.
That's what they were doing. They were going, hey, listen, we know the Bible. We've studied it. We don't know the God of the Bible, but we know the Bible. We know the document.
Come on. Yes, sir.
So there's a challenge to a belief. What belief do you have? What does Jesus look like in your mind?
That's right.
Well, here's the Jesus that I want to serve. Doesn't matter what Jesus you want to serve. Either you'll serve him who and how he is, or you'll not serve him at all.
Amen.
Then number two, there's a charge to beware. So he challenges them. Then he turns over to his disciples or to the rest, and he says this in verse 45. He said, then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples. Because you can see it, can't you? Here's this lowly band of disciples following him around. Here's the religious crowd, and they're going, oh, Jesus, please don't speak those things. You might offend them. You might upset them, right?
Right.
And so verse 45, he says, beware the scribes which desire to walk in long robes. Love greeting in the market and the high seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feast.
Yes.
Which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers and the same shall receive greater damnation. So what? Here's what he's saying. He was questioning their desires. They had an attitude of unbelief. Let me ask you this. They were selfish, arrogant, hypocritical. Their desire was power and admiration, not humility and worship. They deserved neither. They were trying to rob the Lord of his glory.
Right.
Brother Danny, here's is that not where we live today?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Brother Matt, we're in this day where everybody wants to be some kind of influencer. Want a bunch of followers. I'm not talking about just athletes. I'm not talking about just entertainers. I'm not talking about just politicians. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about preachers.
Preach on, preacher. Yes, sir.
Exalting themselves, exalting their ministry.
Yes, sir.
But what about exalting him? See, these scribes were not about Jesus. They were about them. They had the garment of the day. And listen, I think you ought to dress your best for the Lord.
That's right.
I think, listen, you come to church, you ought to bring the best you got.
That's right.
But it ain't about that.
Right.
You can dress to the T's, right? You can dress to the nines and still not have your heart right with God.
Amen.
You got to have the inside right. They wanted the best social gatherings, right?
That's good.
They wanted for people to see them and know them. Let me ask you this, what's your desire? I tell you this. So Friday morning I got up, I got a call about playing golf with Mark Walker. He's running for governor. We played 18 holes, enjoyed the fellowship. Not one time did he pull his phone out and say, hey, let me get a pic so I can put it up. Right? Let me show people I'm hanging out with preachers. Yeah. Right? Right? I appreciate that. Amen. See, on this side, the world tells you, you gotta show people all this stuff about you to gain a following. On this side, Jesus said, I don't want you to have a following. I want you to point them to me. Well, see, here's the problem. You can't do anything for people. Neither can I. It's Him that changes lives. I don't want to walk around. I don't want to go to stuff and say, well, I went to this. We hung out with these people. Listen, it's not about us at all. You get that?
Yes, sir.
It's about Him.
Amen.
You can't fix people.
That's right.
I can't fix, but God can.
So
our desire should be His desire to see people come to know Christ, and everything we do should be for that gain. So that they wanted power and admiration. They were selfish and arrogant. They didn't worship Him. They had no humility. Then their devices. How'd they do that? Well, He says here in verse 46, He said, they walk in long robes, love greeting in the markets and the high seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at the feast. They wanted attention. They positioned themselves to be admired. I can see them, can't you, Brother Matt? I'd like to sing this song today about the Lord. I'd like to use my talents to honor Him. I've had years, Brother Matt, of education and training. I've been asked to sing all over the world, but today I will sing for the glory of God. I hope you enjoy it. Then after someone does that, we all jump up. Yes, you honored God. But who got the glory? See? The devices are not necessarily wrong. It's the desire that messes up the devices. So it's nothing wrong with dressing nice. It's nothing wrong with looking a certain way. We don't have to be rebels, right? You say, well, Jesus was a rebel. No, He was the author of Christianity. It's religion that rebelled against Him. So what I'm saying is, just because we are against the establishment, I'm against established religion. Well, may I say this? Church is not established religion. It was organized by Christ. And so their devices, they position themselves to be admired. Then He deals with their devouring. It wasn't, says this in verse 47, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. Well, they cheated people out of their possessions.
Right.
They usurped power over the weak. They were leaving a path of devastation to satisfy their own lust.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask something? Is that what you do?
Good.
Sometimes we do it with our tongue, don't we? Sometimes we do it, they're typing. Are we exalting Christ in the way we live?
Good.
But finally, in verse 47, He said, the same shall receive greater damnation.
Yes.
So letter D deals with their damnation. Well, preacher, I don't think you ought to say that. Well, He called them out publicly.
Yes,
right? One day they would face eternal judgment if they didn't recognize Jesus as Savior. And that doesn't sound like Brother Danny, that doesn't sound like the lovey-dovey, come do what you want to and we're all good, Grandpa.
That's right.
That Christianity tries to paint Him as, right?
That's right, Pastor. Yes, sir.
I mean, he basically looked at the religious crowd and said, y'all are a bunch of hypocrites.
Yes,
but then He looked at this crowd and He says, listen, don't be like that. Well, why would he tell them that? Because they have the ability and the possibility of being like that. Do you realize in your false humility, you can still be that? You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? We were talking this morning. We as independent Baptists have done a good job of rubbing people the wrong way because we brag about how right we are. Amen. You say, you ought not say that. They're my crowd. I've been one for 53 years. I can talk about them if I want to. We're right on this, this, and this, and we're right on our doctrine, and we're right on this, and we're right on this, and y'all are a bunch of compromisers, and you're a bunch of... Okay. You know what this is?
Yep. That's right.
No different than that.
Right.
Yep. But before you that are not that, get on your spiritual high horse and say, yes, look at us. We're the humble ones. You know what on the other side is? Look at those bunch of hypocrites. Look at the bunch of legalists over there. All they preach about is works. And we're radically transformed by the grace of God. And we know that God forgives us for anything. And he knows we're sinners. And he doesn't care what we do or how we live. And so therefore we can just live any old way we want to. And they're legalists. And we understand and embrace the grace of God. You know what that is? Pride. You know what that is? Pride. You know what right here in the middle is? I know what the Bible says, but I'm a sinner and need God's grace. And I want to live by that, but I know I'm in my flesh, I can get right here, and in order for me to be what I need to be, I just need to realize I'm an old stinking sinner saved by the grace of God, and without him I can do absolutely nothing, and I have nothing to brag about. I can have it all right in my doctrine, I can and be wrong with God. I can have it all right with the love of God and be wrong with God. Hey, without him I can do absolutely nothing, and I'm not going to call him just when I need something because I think I'm so good. I need him every day. Now, where's that spirit at?
Good.
Not on either side.
Right.
It comes when you as an individual look and say, I'm worthless.
Yeah.
But thank God, he saw something in me
right. That
he was willing to go to Calvary and die for me. And now I'm going to take the rest of my life, and the best I know how, I'm going to study his word.
Good.
And I'm going to live for him.
Yeah.
Because he died for me.
Yes.
That's how we get comfortable
yes. With
the Comforter. I ain't got it all figured out.
Amen.
But I'm not going to sit back and say, since I don't have it all figured out, I'm just going to live the way I want to. I want to be comfortable with him
yes. And
recognize myself, who I really am.
Glory to God. And
say, God, I got a long way to go.
Yes.
But I want to get there because
yes. You've
been so good to
yes. Me.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Thank you so much for your attention. People are making their way to the altar. I want to ask you a couple questions. Number one, no one's looking around. I won't come to you, but I want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up this morning? If you don't know for sure, you'd go to heaven when you died. Just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I'm not going to come to you. I just want to pray for you. Is there one? Preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? How many this morning, you don't raise your hand, but the altar's open, you'd say, you know what? I'm guilty of being one of those. Sometimes I think I'm so righteous because I do certain things, but other times I think I'm righteous because I can live any way I want to. You just need to humbly this morning come before God and say, God, I need you. I need you. I don't want to put you in a box, and I don't want you to be the Messiah that I think, but I want you to reveal yourself to me. That's what we need. You're not going to change God. See, we change, don't we? We change the way we think. We change the way we feel. Some days we're up. Some days we're down. Some days we think in this manner, some of that. But here's the thing. He never changes. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, let me invite you to come. Same God that doesn't change says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will. That's what he said, not maybe. I will. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the sweet Spirit of God. And I thank you for speaking to hearts. Use the message to get glory. And for all that you do, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.